So let's start with the central topic. So that could be, of course, I'm calling it HOS for short. So you could visit, I don't think there is network in this space. The class has a website. The name of the website is hos.knowledge.org. Okay, if you go there, you will not find any content there. The reason why there is no content is because I am not going to fill that content. All of you are going to fill that content. So it's a place for you. You may continue to take notes the way you take, but ultimately your notes are supposed to end up there eventually. And for that, there will be special marking of 40% of the course. So 40% of the evaluation goes to how much do you blog, how much do you log, how many questions do you ask, and how do you interact with each other, and how do you reply to questions that you people ask to each other's questions. You understood? So we will have some conversations in this room once a week, but we will continue the conversation after the class. And since you are going to spend some time out of the class as well, I thought it is not legitimate if I don't compensate for that time. So that's why I'm giving you 40% of the evaluation for the time that you spend. I hope all of you have internet access and all of you know how to type. If any of you have any problem of doing that, you can always write it on a piece of paper, scan and upload it. I don't mind that as well. So I don't want to victimize if someone has a handicap of not being able to type fast. Anyway, so that is the way how we are going to do it. Of course, initially what I'm going to do today, we'll have this lecture in two parts as usual. We'll have the class for about an hour, the first part, then we'll break for some time, and then assemble again after some time. I think today we might have to go on till 1 o'clock because we started late. And you have 1 hour break, I think, before the chemistry lab. So that should be enough. So that's what we'll do. I think possibly we may have to do that way forever. So our classes will continue till 1 o'clock. How long break you need? Another 15 minutes break in between? Huh?
Yes, sir.
That should be enough. All right. So that's about the logistics. But apart from that, the kind of, lot of people keep asking me this question about which book to read for this course. Though I would suggest you to read some books, but I would say the best way to get most out of this course is to be alert with loads of common sense, rather than just get down to reading some books and try to gather some information. Because I won't be giving any special marks for your knowledge about information, such as who did what at what time, because that has been the way how history is taught. But we are not going to do that kind of history here. So in today's class, the focus would be, first I'll introduce you to the topic to give you kind of an idea, and if there is some time we might start episode number 0, because the history is full of episodes, so we have to unpack the history of science in terms of episodes. So each episode would be talking about something, something that happened in the past that has brought us this far. So we have to work out. So essentially what we are going to do is we keep folding and unfolding the ideas as it were, and then try to understand. So we'll be going back and forth. So sometimes we come to modern understanding, sometimes we go to the past understanding. So let's start somewhere. We have to start at some point. So at any point you have question during my class, you have to somehow exhibit that you have a question, either by raising a hand or by being uncomfortable or by dozing off to sleep, because that will prompt me that okay, now you have a question. Okay, so you have to give some kind of an indication that you are not comfortable with what I am talking about. And I also forgot to tell you, we have some of our colleagues from the Homi Baba Center, most of them sitting on the back benches, who will be coming possibly irregularly to this course, I assume. I mean, I'll be happy if they come regularly. I also assume that we will be uploading the audio on the website as well. But there is a danger. The danger is that I don't have an audio recorder that catches all your questions, because you're supposed to ask questions during the class. So those questions may not be able to come. But then what you can do is, because each of you know what question you ask, okay, you can go and fill it up on the website. Okay, so we don't want to miss out anything. So don't worry about whether the question was interesting, uninteresting, or whatever. So every question is interesting, every question is useful. So please record properly, so that eventually it might become a turn it into a kind of a course which anybody anywhere in the world could be able to access. Anybody who wants to have a course on history of science. So though it is called HOS or H201 formally, I would call it Invitation to History of Science. So that also gives you an idea about what is the idea of this course. The course idea is to invite you to history of science. So if you find it terrifying, then I must have given you a very bad course to begin with. Okay, let's begin somewhere. So first we'll be doing some kind of brainstorming about what we will, let's say, write something like introduction. So introduction is to the idea of studying history, and of course then to the history of science. So why, first of all, we study history? Where do we begin? What do you think would be the best starting point according to you? The first episode for history of science. Let's say, since we are going to also have a lot of episodes, okay, so I will be talking about a few episodes. Let me do it this way. I'll call it zero. That is, I'll be marking the episodes as it were. You may have n number of episodes in the course. Each episode should be some turning point. The reason why the first episode is zero is because that is a very, very big cloud. We don't know exactly what happened before that, because we don't have a clear idea about how the first episode began. So where do we start? How do you think we should start? What should be the first episode in the history of science? Okay, I hear early man, woman, okay, and wheel,
okay.
I, fire. Agriculture. Counting. The why I am repeating is not because you haven't heard. I want to put something out there. So I keep repeating what you think. So. I could hear. Big Bang. Okay. Okay. Big Bang. So he really is serious, I must say. He wants to go back to the very beginning. Okay, where should we start this theatre? I mean, you are given already some clues.
Pyramid.
Yes, pardon?
Pyramid.
Pyramid, okay. Pyramid. Fire. So, you know, you can see, as you are looking at it, you already know that each of the things that you are talking about is an achievement. I mean, in what sense? In what sense fire is an achievement? We didn't create fire in the first place. The fire is already there. But the point is that we managed to use, harness, okay, control, okay, or produce it whenever we want, or, you know, stop it whenever we don't want, the ability to control that. Or take the case of agriculture, in terms of, you know, produce the food when you want. You know, everywhere you see that. So, man does control the world around. Okay, so that's why we have this understanding out here. So, fire is one example, you said. Wheel is another example, you said. That's also a very interesting example. Because the wheel, I mean, so to speak, is the hub of almost all technology that human being has ever created. Whatever technology, there is a wheel behind. Like, you know, every successful man has a woman behind. Every scientific achievement has a wheel behind. So a wheel is a very interesting kind of discovery. So we'll be talking about wheel as we roll further into the course. So can you halt and ask for a while? Wipe out all knowledge that you have. We'll do a thought experiment now. Wipe out all knowledge that you have. Wipe out all knowledge that you got from your parents. Wipe out all knowledge that all your people like us keep talking about in lectures, school, colleges. Wipe out everything that came through books. And think about what kind of a world you will have for a while. I'm asking you to do this as a thought experiment because that characterizes the zero episode. The episode zero. So can we characterize the episode zero? What would be that word? What kind of a life would there be? Or is it something unspeakable? You can't speak about it? No? Okay, what would be the nature of that word? So I want you to put some description there. That would be a world of what? A world without something. And what is that world without?
Progress.
Progress?
Knowledge.
Knowledge?
Civilization.
Yes?
Brain.
Well, I hope as animals too have brain. Possibly not.
Without communication.
Okay. Communication. So you already started feeling something like. So episode number 0 is a world without say communication. A world without what is the other thing that you said? Knowledge. A world without knowledge. World without communication. Yeah? So I would be spell checking later. Don't worry about what I write there. Just without communication. Anything else? A world without communication, world without knowledge. So I'm of course assuming that we are living, each of us. But since I said, let there be nothing that you learn from your parents. Let there be nothing that you learn from your grandparents. Let there be nothing that you learn from your schools and colleges. That means that basically there's no communication happening. Right? So the only possibility of you learning about the past in that kind of a world, there is still the possibility for you to learn something from the world, even in that kind of a situation. Because after all, we are living creatures. So living creatures, access to the past is from where? The question I'm asking, please focus carefully. The question I'm asking is, living creatures have access to the past. So, if you're talking about observation, do you get observation about the past from observing the world around? So I'm saying that living creatures have access to the past. How?
Thinking about how it is, how it can happen. How does anything have to
work? Okay, well, that would be a question. Can you think about how living beings ever can have access to the past without communication? Or do they have? Or is it something that I'm imposing on you? How do they study? I told you that zero world doesn't have that possibility. You can't learn anything from books. You can't learn anything from anybody. You are existing as an individual. You are out there in the world. I mean, assuming that there are no predators out there, but you are having your fun of your life. But that's the time when I'm asking this question. What kind of learning from the past is possible for that living being or that hypothetical human being? Do they have any access to the past? Is the question.
They have access to their own past.
Which is? Their own life.
Yes.
Okay, they may remember something from their own life. Okay, their own experiences they may remember. Because they are wired already with some cognitive faculty which has come by birth. But there is something that is also interesting in that there is something that each organism comes with, and that is also a kind of a historically given to it, and that is called genes. So genes actually reflect the past of the organism, so to speak, because that's the way how the accumulation of its past is encoded. That's what the biological science tells us today. So today's biological science tells us about evolution. And the today's structure, today's complexity, today's genes are actually in some sense a reflection of what kind of experience that organism had in the past. So you have what is called inheritance. You have inheritance of your lived life of the past. Now comes the other point, and that is, if you don't allow communication with each other organism, then you have some other access. What is that? Suddenly we allow everybody to start having communication. So now we have come to 0.1. In 0.1 we have added some additional things. So let us assume now that these organisms are now communicating with each other. Exchange of ideas keep happening. Like, they keep talking about their experiences to each other. And in the process, what happens? So all that I wanted to tell you by doing this small thought experiment is that we are the way we are today because of communication. Because we are communicating beings. Okay? And what we use also what is called, okay, you can call it by any name. Okay, we have symbols, we have language, we have various means of communicating with people. So this is the most interesting aspect about studying history of science or history of knowledge or history of ideas. So essentially what we are going to do is that particular interesting origin. We are not going to study the history of how knowledge came into being, how language came into being in the rest of the classes. But today we are going to put some kind of an attempt about trying to understand this issue a little while. So, is this the only means of learning? We learn from our parents, because parents have been communicating, therefore they will pass on that communication to us. As soon as we are born, they will start saying blah blah blah, so we will also say blah blah blah, so in the process we will all end up saying the same thing. So we get some kind of a language as soon as we are born. And in the process, we also hear lots of things. We hear narratives from parents, grandparents. And nowadays, we hear from the idiot box. So we, because you know, at my time, I used to listen stories from my grandmother, grandfather, the various stories. But nowadays, people watch stories. And so, the point again is that you are in the process acquiring what the civilization has already acquired, and then you start reflecting as well. So you have two things there. You as an individual continue to have your experience with the world around as if you don't have any language. That is the zero state, remember. So in the zero state you have no communication, but still you do have some kind of an access to your past. That is your own time, your own past, your own experiences. And now once you have added the communication element, you suddenly started having access to so much of past. Not your own past, but the other person's past, the grandparents' past, the people's, other people's past. So this is called, okay, I'll put one here. World with, okay, I want to put it as so that you get to know what it is. The world with what is called mean. Have you heard about this term mean any time before? You haven't. So you're hearing it for the first time today. That's good. So at least I've told you something new today, because so far I haven't uttered anything new. So this is the first word I've told you which you don't know. It's called meme. So what is this meme about? Meme rhymes with gene. So that was the way how it was also intended for. What is gene? What does gene do in the case of living creatures? It's a unit of inheritance. And means is also a unit of inheritance. Of what? What? It's the inheritance of culture, knowledge, past. So mean is a unit, but unlike in the case of gene, gene has a physical basis. So we don't know what is the physical basis for mean so far. Cognitive science is finding out what that mean is. I mean, a lot of people think that a mean is a concept. Concepts are the units of inheritance. But then all the concepts put together, we can call it as a mean. But the mean doesn't mean only what you can conceptualize. It can also mean a lot of things. Like the songs we sing is also part of mean. The dance the people do is also part of mean. Every aspect of culture is part of mean. Everything that we inherit from the past. But only through behavior by imitation. So one of the interesting factors of mean is imitation. We imitate. In fact, imitation is such an essential aspect of inheritance from the past, learning something from the past. Because how do we learn our alphabet? We write A, we write A, we write A, we have been forced to write A, so many times in our past. In that process, we learn something. We learn the code. You know, that kind of imitation, that imitation also happens like, if you like somebody like a movie actor, then what you do is you try to imitate the movie actor. If you hear some good singer sing a song, then you try to imitate the singer. So you imitate whatever is imitatable. And from that comes a kind of inheritance, a kind of cultural transmission, and that is the units of mean. So mean essentially is what is put together as what can be inherited from the past. And that happens through that flow. So history of science is part of that mean. It's a history of mean. It comes into that. That means it's a history of symbolic culture. So history of science is part of the symbolic culture. History of science will be part of course, knowledge. But then when you're talking about knowledge, we're again talking about what is represented as a symbol. What is representable as a mean. What can be imitated. If you can't imitate something, it simply can't be passed on to someone. If you don't imitate your parents, you can't pass on. So this is what, so the other word for imitation is copy. And now you will see one interesting character between a gene and a mean. Gene actually does copy. If you already know how gene works, what gene does is replication, and replication is nothing but copy. So copying, the act of imitation, is the essence of how past is passed on to the present. So this is the way how we have to look at this dimension. So of course you have a zero episode, but zero episode is not really zero. So you can put a lot of decimals there, 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 and so on, because there are any number of things that are already there. Because there was no time when organism is born with zero knowledge, because it already has some kind of past that has come either from its experience or whatever. So this is the world with mean. So I'm not saying that the history of science starts with the first episode. Or do you say that? Does it begin with the first episode? So we have to solve some more problems before we actually enter into science. One of the important problems that we have to solve is, I didn't realize that you're not able to see the rest. So you're not speaking. So tell me if something is wrong there, because I don't look backwards. Okay, so just ability to communicate doesn't constitute science. All of you agree? You agree?
Yes.
So then where should the first episode of science begin? I mean, some of you gave us some ideas, like you should let it begin with fire, let it begin with a wheel, things like that. But then, you know very well that people have been using wheels for time immemorial. So almost from the time when the civilization started.
First civilization started when the humans, when earlier they used to walk on poles with both their hands and both their legs.
Mm-hmm.
The time when they converted to walk on their legs, when the first civilization started. Then only they started thinking and all.
So you think thinking started because we started standing erect?
Yes.
No sir.
Thinking started before
yeah.
the standing,
sir,
because
you think
after standing,
how
you stand, sir.
It's an interesting way. If you don't think, how will you stand? Then they
thought that what to use with this hand.
See,
this is
absolutely...
Animals also think.
Yes,
but they think it both. We think it
gradually developed. Means it is not just by removing the hands also.
After the standing, it does not work.
See, you are good that you started thinking now, so to speak. The point I am trying to say is, we are not doing history of culture. We are talking about history of time. The question is, thinking starts, do you think science begins?
Yes. So
that's one way of looking at it. So let us keep all the options open before we close all the options. So one point of view says that thinking begins and science begins. Okay, that's one position that you have. There could be another position, if any of you want to say.
Curiosity because of curiosity,
the science begins.
Science because of curiosity,
only
thing makes it.
So you may take up the familiar statement that animals behave as, you know, using their own drives, the way they are made. They don't think when they act. Let's assume that it's true. We don't want to engage with that question anymore because that's not the subject of our course, but we want to talk about when do you think science begins. If you look at the history of science books anywhere on the net, they say something like the modern science started about 400 years ago. You know, this is a special year for history of science, 2009. What is special about 2009?
Big Bang started.
This is. Do you know that the all the scientists are celebrating this year as 1 year? What is that? Do you know? You don't read newspapers.
Do you read newspapers? Starting of modern.
Do you read the posters outside your institution, from your other center? International Year of Astronomy. Do you know why we call it International Year of Astronomy? Can you tell me? Any idea as to what time it was?
1500.
So did you guess it because this is 2009?
400 years.
That's 400 years. So that's the time when people say that the science began. But of course, science certainly doesn't start only at 400 years. Now you can immediately see, though we are saying that, so we are saying that the modern science started at that point. But this course is not about modern science per se. A lot of the history of science that we are going to do is not about 1609. We are going to talk about the events that happened before that most of the time. In fact, almost 65-70% of the class is going to be about the events that took place before those 400 years. Because before we start even celebrating the modern time, there is an enormous amount of groundwork that has been done by a lot of people. So we will be first paying respects to all those ideas to begin with. And then eventually we will start getting down to other things. So now at least that gave you some kind of an idea about, okay, let's say the modern science started in 1609, but then before that, how many more years we should go back? So when should we go back? How long should we go back? How many more years should we go back? Because we need to have some sense of time. I am not asking you to remember years, dates of births of people and things like that, but at least have some kind of a picture of the time. So we are in 2009. 1609 is one, we'll put one kind of a brick there. And then before that, how far should we go back? So to?
Yes? When we started writing.
When we started writing. So that's possibly one landmark. Okay, we started writing. When do you think people started writing? Do you have any idea? Egyptian civilization. Like people started building artificial structures for living. So basically, of course, there is a lot of science that is involved in building, right? So do you want to call that science as well? That's the question. So one of you thinks that it is yes, and other person will say no. So that's the issue about it. Like how do you determine when you think that something started? When do you think that something? So how do you make up your mind? You need some kind of criteria to work out these problems. So writing is one starting, but we don't know exactly who started writing, because almost all cultures started writing. Chinese write, Indians write, Arabians write, Egyptians wrote, everybody wrote. So have you seen an animal writing? You haven't seen any animal writing? Have you seen any animal writing?
Yes.
I have seen.
Yes.
Pardon? No, I have no idea, but I have seen so many animals writing.
Yes, sir.
Where?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all of those are animals, right? You don't consider yourself animals?
Yes.
So prima facie, we do know that there is an animal which writes. So animals do write. There exists at least one animal which writes. Okay, this is a very important thing that you should keep in mind. Okay, because it's not a scientific point of view to think that animal is not, or we are not animals. Because when we are looking at this story, we have to look at it from that point of view. We are a very peculiar kind of an animal. We not only write, you know, like we can have a course on history of science. You know, isn't it really interesting that we not only write, but we are also trying to write or talk about our own history. We are basically continuing to go back, roll back, and then talk and reflect. So this is what we actually call reflection. So reflection essentially means, you know, basically turn back on yourself. So this is what is happening here. But of course, all reflection is not science, is what I wanted to say. You may not agree with me, but at least for the sake of H201, the course that we are doing. We need to know exactly what we mean by history of science. Otherwise, you know, you may start taking up topics from various places and then say, I know I am doing history of science. Okay, because tomorrow it will be very difficult for me to, you know, if you start come and say that, you know, what is the history of, for example, writing. Because I am not certainly going to include history of writing as part of history of science. I am not going to, for example, include history of how people made buildings, temples, churches as part of history of science. There may be science in that. Let's debate that issue later. But right now, I am not going to talk about all that as science. But there is some kind of an idea that possibly I have in my mind, and maybe you have in mind, but you haven't made it explicit.
Reason behind what you are doing.
Reason behind?
What you are doing.
Okay, reasoning about what you are doing. Would that make it science?
Why the world is a...
Pardon?
Reasoning behind why the world is a particular.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this is a world with me, and this is going to be a world with reason. Should I add reason as well?
Yes.
It has to be a world with meaning. It has to be a world with reason. Because we have to think, because all of you have agreed that thinking should be there, there should be reason. So what do you mean by reason then? So we should know exactly what reason is. We have some idea about what meaning is right now. But we have to also wonder about what is the meaning of reason. When did it start? Does it start at some point, or maybe you are born with reason? Both these views are there, quite prevalent. Is it possible for you to characterize what is reason? Or do you only say that we just use the word reason? There is going to be one important thing that you are going to do in this course. This course is H201. Okay. Now, this course is supposed to be courses in humanities. Supposed to be things which tell you about the culture. And also, of course, personally, we are going to talk about history of science. One of the important aspects about the science or about the whole thing is talking about. What do you mean by talking about? If you don't talk about, that doesn't become part of discourse. That doesn't become part of language. That doesn't become part of knowledge. So you have to talk about things. So when I'm again asking what is reason, I'm again asking you to talk about reason. So just parroting that, you know, human beings have reason doesn't make you reasonable enough. You have to think about it, call for it. What the hell is reason? I'm sure you know about it. I'm asking you to make it explicit.
Using logic.
Using logic. Okay, he says using logic is reason. But what is the guarantee that is also another parroting that you are doing, because you heard that logic and reason are somewhat related, and therefore you said logic. Now I will be asking you that question, what is logic? Make it explicit. Well, logic is reasoning is logic. Okay? That makes a mean. It doesn't make sense. Okay, now in reason you have things like correct reasoning, wrong reasoning. Okay, so that's what logic actually tells you. Whether something is right or wrong. If you do mathematics, whether the addition is correct or whether the multiplication is correct, the mathematics tells you whether it's right or wrong. Similarly, logic tells you whether the reason is right or wrong.
Reason is thinking about the need versus how it is, how it is. Anything is happening, it makes us worry.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us to think that why it is happening.
So the reason why I'm asking this question is only to let you know that one of the most important things that we need to know is that there are certain things that are happening here. One is that it is not only a matter of writing something, it's not only a matter of, you know, writing stories, but it is also a matter of putting reason in those stories. You know, because we always ask these questions, like every story is not about, you know, what happened, when it happened, and things like that. You also talk about how it happened. You also talk about why it happened. You keep asking that kind of question. And that's also one of the reasons why most of these things happen. So here comes one of the most important things. It's a kind of, it's a world with explicit formulation. You know, you not only write, but you also write things explicitly. You make it clear. You talk about it. So this is what I mean by making explicit means talking about things. You don't simply say what is reason. You basically try to explicate what reason consists in. As some of you explicated it as reason consists in finding out whether reason is right or wrong. An argument is right or wrong. Adding up all those questions, asking questions, finding answers to it, and things like that. So there's an enormous amount of things, but you have to document all that. You have to put down those things, either on paper, or even if you don't put it on paper, it must be in a transmittable form. It has to pass from generation to generation, so you have to sing those songs as shlokas or whatever. You know, the things have come, because that's the only way how the transmission can happen. The transmission will happen only if it is an imitatable form. If it is not an imitatable form, it can't transmit. So that's one of the things that happens here. And in the process, you keep formulating. You make statements about the world. So all these statements are about something. So they have that interesting characteristic of they keep talking about something. So you make it explicit. So these are some of the interesting things that happened in the past. Say somewhere in the first episode. But it results you, all these things have yielded some interesting things, interesting outcomes. One of the interesting outcomes that we all have access to is stories. So what stories do we know about the ancient life? How do they come to us? No, but how, in what form do they come to us? What kind of stories do you hear?
Mainly five stories in that sense.
What are they?
Ramayana.
Mahabharata.
Five stories are because of human is.
Yeah, Ramayana, Mahabharata. Panchatantra. Yes. Ramayana, Mahabharata, Panchatantra. Yeah. Can you add more things to it? These are all Indian stories. Can you think of other stories from other cultures? Yeah, what, that's part of which? But Trojan War is part of one particular.
Troy.
Okay, you want to talk about the story of Troy? Okay, so you know about the Troy story. That's too modern. I'm talking about there's a characteristic feature of this thing. Yeah, you know any Egyptian stories? What kind of stories you hear from Arabia? Arabian Nights? Anyway, so you got the point there. You got the point. Now, many of the stories that are part of every civilization tell you stories. And these stories also have knowledge of the past. They also have a lot of reason. Because in each episode, there is to be a lot of reason. They also tell you about the science or whatever that they have. They play different roles. But the point is, this is one important axis of the past. So the past comes through us through these stories. But do you want to call these stories? Fine. But you agree that there is reason in them. You agree that they do, there is thinking in them. You agree that there is mean in them. But still it is not science. Okay. What's the time now?
11:30.
So, I will close the first session in a short moment and we'll go to the episode number 2 in a while. But episode number 2, pardon? Episode number 1 is, you have to give a name to it now. So, what do you think I have about episode number 1? Absolutely. That is ethics. Homer, Hesiod, the people who wrote those famous stories of the Troy, and Valmiki and others who wrote the stories like Ramayana and Mahabharata. Okay? You know, of course we don't know that it is one person who wrote it. I mean, there must be a group of people or a school of thought that must have written all those stories. That we are not concerned right now. That's why I'm not a real historian. I'm not really doing history of science. I'm going to, I mean, this whole course will be a lie if I say that I'm actually doing history of science. But anyway, this is what I know, so that's why I'm doing it. The point here that we have to look at is that we have started from a zeroth kind of an episode where we are assumed that there was nothing. And then we come to a kind of a state. So we already made a big jump. It was like a big leap. You know, from a point where human beings do not even know how to talk with each other to a time when you can write such big things like Ramayana and Mahabharata. And also listening to them. We keep listening to them even today. And people keep writing about them even again. And they keep making even DVDs, movies, and even cartoon kinds of things. Each time you invent a new technology, then you want to rewrite Mahabharata in that technology. We do that. And in fact, that's one of the interesting features of culture. And in culture, what we do is we write, but we actually also rewrite. There is one important aspect about this whole thing that I would just briefly touch upon, okay? And then we will take a break. In this process from 0 to 1, you know, there is some very important thing that happens, and that is, suppose if I ask you, suppose if I am a student sitting in the class and I raise my hand like this. I am a student. Okay, I raise my hand like this. What does it mean? Okay. So this is a gesture. I did a gesture. And this gesture has a meaning. Now, suppose if I do the same thing, let us say in Cuba. I'm also a student in Cuba, sitting in a Cuban classroom, and raise my hand. Or suppose it's not Cuba, maybe it is Chile. Or some other classroom in the US, let us say. Why am I asking this question? This question I'm asking is that this particular gesture means different things in different cultures. So this is what is called interpretation. What do you mean by something is called interpretation. So, one of the important things that happens from year to year is the moment you started dealing with me, you imitate. Okay? Because I also learned how to imitate. So I do this imitation. But when I do this imitation, okay, that imitation, I have been transferred the meaning from the past to the present. So we are not only being imitating, we are imitating two things here. That's what I want you to focus on. We are not only imitating the gestures, we are not only imitating the symbols, we are not only imitating the actions, but we also start interpreting. We also start carrying the meaning with us. So this is what is called interpretation. And therefore, one of the characteristic features of history of science is that history of science is all about interpretation. Why? Because history is not with us today. We don't have access to the past. We live in the present. We live in 2009. It is almost impossible, except in science fiction, to have a time machine. So it's no way we can go back. That's why what do? We interpret. We interpret on the basis of what we have today. So we have some cultural artifacts with us. We have some museums. We have some books. We have things that are written by other people. We have stories that we have heard from other people. So it, and even the stories that people have written, you know, people will say, that's not what the author actually meant. You're only saying it. In fact, this kind of things go on in history science journals. If you go to history of science journals, you will see that, you know, people will say, well, Galileo had no access to algebra. Some other person say, no, Galileo actually had all access to algebra, but then he wrote it in a different way. So all this is happening here, and this is what is called interpretation. So you must remember one thing, and therefore you are also free to interpret. If you have another interpretation of yours, you are free to do so. So what we will be doing, of course, would be talking about different episodes, but each of those episodes we come with our own interpretation. So when I am presenting my own interpretation. So that's what I want to tell you. That's why I am saying that each of these interpretations is a lie, because I am coming out with my lie. So all of us have to keep lying. We don't know what the truth is, but we are trying to understand ourselves through this process. Now one last question before we leave, and for which I am not going to ask you to answer now. All of you have to write a question, an answer to this, on the website. And this question, there is a kind of a small assignment for you, is there interpretation in science? I said history is all full of interpretation, right? Is science, is there any scope for interpretation in science? Or does science need interpretation? If there is, in what way does it look like? Okay? So, I can put down the question here in some format. What is interpretation, and is there interpretation of science? Towards the end of the class, I will briefly give you an idea about the place where we are all going to write. Okay, I will also upload some kind of a structure, because you know, by looking at this you will start recollecting, you know, what happened. Or maybe you might have also written something in your notebook, so you recollect something, so you will be able to write down some things like this. So we'll stop here for about 15 minutes. We'll assemble again after 15 minutes, and then we'll go to the next episode. And the next episode, briefly, just to give an appetizer, is going to be about how did we move away from the ethics. Was there any break? And how did we do that? So we'll start with that. That would be the next episode. Okay.